really does Soho. With Phoebe Lynch.
Hello everyone, what a beautiful day. It's as beautiful as Theresa May's new hairdo, the helmet. Hopefully she'll need it. Hey, I'm Phoebe Lynch and you're listening to Phoebe Does Soho on your fantastic Soho radio. I'm all yours the next 2 hours. Shall we do it?
What's the sense in sharing this one and only life? Ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man. While he's busy loving every woman that he can.
I'm Phoebe Lynch, and that was Caddy Staten. Staten. How do you know that?
I interviewed her once, and I said Staten, and everyone says
and
Caddy Staten.
In the face.
She said it's Staten.
Oh, did she?
Apparently, that's how you say
are
it.
Are you allowed to correct people with your name? I had an issue with someone who called me Bibby, and I went, "It's BB."
Of course, you are.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the whole Bowie thing, which drives me insane.
Does it? Does it drive you insane?
It literally drives
me
insane.
Are you literally allowed?
I was in a record shop the other day, and somebody said Bowie, and I had to interrupt the conversation and correct him.
Yeah.
Because I really care about stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't know who that is talking on the morning. that was Caddy Statin. And young hearts run free. That song reminds me of my mum so much. And they had the same birthday producing it, March 13th. All I'm saying. I'm not saying Candy Stanton Staton was my mum.
Okay.
Just to clear that up. Hey, how are you? What's been happening? Me? I've got really fat.
Have you? So,
yeah, I'm really fat.
Oh.
I'm not curvy anymore.
Great body for radio.
I'm chubster now. So my birthday week and Hove and Tottenham have an Audi. Mainly the Middle Isle and well, no, you can't.
Other supermarkets are available.
Well, yeah, but I had a fight in Audi.
Yeah.
So I've got really.
Do you think people listen in just to hear this update on your
physical violence?
On your life?
I'm aware that I've already said punch people twice in the show. I didn't realize I was so angry.
There's a lot of anger in there.
Do you like my body?
I've never properly considered it, to be honest.
Apparently, when I was a kid, I sat on my Uncle Meru's knee and went, do you like my body?
Uncle Mary?
Meru.
Oh. Okay.
Meru.
I misheard.
It's a beautiful...
I misheard.
Anyway, I sat on his lap and said, do you like my body? And he still says it to me. I'm 51, he still says it whenever he sees me, do you like my body? Hey, let me tell you about today's show. Could you, BB? I'm on a new laptop.
Yeah.
Barbara. My first guest is star.
Maybe names inanimate objects. It's.
I've named you, mate.
Used to be adorable.
My first guest is star of the UK burlesque variety vaudeville scene. Brilliant, Fancy Chance. Fancy will be telling us about her fantastic new show, Flights of Fancy, and all about her Soho. And in the second hour, we'll be joined by publicist extraordinaire Anna Goodman, talking Breaking Convention 17, and presenter and property expert Luke Doonan, talking about his new documentary, Dispossession, The Great Social Housing Swindle. Imagine the fury that's going to happen there. Producer really just touched me. So please join in. We would love to hear from you. Tweet at Soho Radio and at BB Lynch. Tweet and say hello. Or tweet and tell me that you really love dating women who can't see their feet.
Chaka 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 Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. That's all I wanna do. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me feel for you. Chaka Khan. What you tell me? What you wanna do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Chaka Khan. Let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you. Wanna hug you. Wanna squeeze you too. And let me take you in my arm. Let me feel you with my charm, Chaka. Cause you know that I'm the one to keep you warm, Chaka. I make it more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, Chaka, baby, cause you make me wanna scream. Let me rock it, rock it.
Yeah.
Let me rock you 'cause I feel for you. Chaka Khan, would you tell me what you wanna do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Chaka Khan, let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too. So let me take you in my arm, let me fill you with my charm, Chaka. 'Cause you know that I'm the one to keep you warm, Chaka. I make it more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, Chaka, 'cause you make me wanna scream. Feel for you.
This is BB Does Soho on Soho Radio, SohoRadioLondon.com. We have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London. And that was I Feel For You by Shaka Khan. Shaka Actual Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
What?
Our first guest is here.
Yay!
Fancy Chance is a star hire of the UK burlesque variety vaudeville scene, incorporating burlesque, drag, circus and live art brilliantly, poignantly and hilariously. She's a former alternative of the world... Woo! Was voted London's top tranny, and in 2013 was shortlisted for Best Alternative Performer in the London Cabaret Awards. And right now she's performing her debut solo show, Flights of Fancy, at Soho Theatre. Welcome to Soho Radio, Fancy Chance.
Thank you very much, Soho Radio.
Did you bring gifts?
I put lipstick on.
Good girl.
I put lipstick on and clothes.
So
maybe not deodorant or a bra, but you know.
You haven't got a bra on?
No.
God, you've got good
I kind of
pups,
just gave up.
You? Did you?
At one point. And also I heard something about how underwire, if it cuts into... It does kind of cut into your lymph nodes and stuff like that under your armpits, right? And I just thought, if they haven't fallen yet and I don't have kids and I haven't had kids... Then
you're good.
Then it's fine.
Oh, please don't say that about the underwire, because I'm wearing my what I call my Catholic bra today, which is underwire, and it's cutting me, and I can't lie, I like the pain. But it is... But it is... It's
I
my Catholic
it's
bra.
I think it's worth getting going to a proper fitting, though. And
let's do it together.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it together.
I can't afford
We did
that,
it on the show once, didn't we?
Oh, I got my pups measured on the show
yeah,
once.
Yeah, we had a bra. We did a live and, radio bra fitting.
And producer Nick's face. We asked to use his hands at one point. He wouldn't do it.
No.
So with your bra fitting, I mean, yeah. does it work?
Yeah, well, I didn't buy the bra that was the right size. No. I don't, I'm a weird, can we not talk about my boobs?
You brought it up.
Sorry.
Wait, is Rigby Peller in Soho?
No, but it's close, let's go. I think they listen, I think the Queen's a fan of the show, yeah, and I know her bra people are as
Someday
well. Can we
there.
Talk about you?
Yes, that's
I question. Love your Twitter bio, Woman About Town, performing for everyone. So in a way, that's all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always this town?
Primarily this town. I mean, this is basically where I found my creative voice and the confidence to put as much as I have in me out there. Because I moved here when I was about 28, and I think that once I, you know, hit 30 and got to my mid-30s, I ceased to care so much about the little things. So that once you get rid of that, the crap, basically, that's kind of keeping you from being funny or being foolish, it completely frees you up to explore exactly, you know, what you can do on stage.
Yeah, so. And we came to see your show last night, Flights of Fancy at Soho. Yeah, you don't give a shit.
Yeah. There's no time.
There's no time.
Really, like, especially now, there's just no time.
Why, I mean, why especially now?
Because the world's going to implode. Everybody is self-conscious and like, you know, the things that I talk about in my show, you know, regarding being online and dating ass and the way you look and feel and, like, you've got to be spiritual and you got to look this way and everyone has these aspirational crap, and everyone's sharing like the happy times on Facebook and the happy times on Twitter, and everything's great, but it's not. You know, we all have, you know, we're all multi-dimensional human beings with, you know, all sorts of different feelings. So I mean, so there's a lot of crap already there, so like, let's just get rid of it
and be
for
real.
Now if with what we're presenting or writing or you know, because there's enough crap that already exists.
But it takes more courage now to be crapless and be really real with stuff, because the feedback is so there, because everyone has a voice and people are not afraid to use it.
Well, you know what's funny about yesterday's show is that I accidentally looked at a notification on my phone just before going out.
Uh-oh.
And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll tweet something if I can remember, because I'm completely useless regarding technology sometimes. But I was like, oh, you know, somebody left a comment on my YouTube channel that I don't really use. I mean, I've chucked a few videos up there related to Fancy Chance stuff. And apparently somebody named, oh dear, I can't remember his
Let's remember.
Name. Get a name
not, of not, no, I'm not going to do that because that's stooping low. You know, I mean, even talking about it is probably...
This show is all about low.
Well, but anyways, this person who didn't have a picture
themselves. Of course.
Commented like, well, I saw Flights of Fancy. And just trolled me and poked me in it and... was being dismissive of Yoko Ono and was like, it's interesting how you tricked people with that, you know, that those chords that sounded like John Lennon in your show. And I was like, it was John Lennon. I actually used the backing track for Mother for my song. And he just got, it was very strange. But he posted it on a video on my YouTube channel. And if anything from seeing my show, it's like, you can talk to me. I mean, you can probably find my phone number somewhere. Yeah. I'm sure it's floating out there in the ether somewhere. Like, you know, there wasn't anything to keep him or her from actually just
But they wouldn't do that because that would take courage because you could come back.
It's just more... It was just weird because it's like they took the time to find my YouTube channel just so they could post something on there.
People are horrible.
And
I read that
before going on stage and it completely threw me.
Yeah.
You know, it was... And I'm not sensitive to that stuff, but I was thinking, I was analyzing, why am I sensitive to this stuff? Like, you know, who am I as an adult to be reactionary
towards
it?
Well, who wouldn't be? I mean, you know, if somebody's being critical.
But, you know, exactly. So it was very odd.
Well, you went on stage and you stormed it. And can I ask, why is it your first solo show?
Well, it's probably the third version of this. So in a way, I kind of have been working towards this because I just didn't have the confidence, I think. And I think that also, I've done longer and longer things and have been involved in more and more projects. And I think it took like this cumulative experience to be able to know that I have the material and that I have an audience enough to like keep them there for, you know, 45 to minutes to an hour. And also it was a matter of me finding someone who I could collaborate with and who could direct me.
And it's Nathan Evans.
And I mean, you know, I'm sure things are going to morph and change as if I do more solo shows and as this show goes along. But finding those relationships, I think, takes a long time. But yeah,
it took me producing it years to find each other.
We go through this fantasy every show that Phoebe makes out that we're like getting married, and it's, you know, she thinks it's cute.
I don't need a piece of paper. Flights of Fantasy.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah,
what's your process?
I need a check. Yeah, what's my process? Two of these. So Flights of Fancy is a globe-trotting, time-travelling mini-spectacle with turbulent polemics and unexpectedly poignant stop-offs taking you from her humble origins as a Korean refugee to darling of the London cabaret scene.
Nathan wrote that.
Did he?
Yes,
he's very
he
good. And he used a nicer hyphen there. He did very well. The polemics are brilliant. So I loved your stuff about housing.
Ah, yes.
The Margate line.
Yes.
Got a round of applause from me.
It's like the... I have always had these complaints that I've been able to kind of air in my short performances in one way or another. So I'm like satirizing something or doing a little bit of commentary here and there. But I think the video for that housing, big apartment thing, it's called Vibe.
Yeah.
And I don't know who made the video to advertise these great, you know, apartments in the middle of Dalston, like it's right behind Dalston Junction or just kind of south of it. And the video doesn't have any black people in it.
In Dalston?
In Dalston.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
did Richard Curtis direct this one? Or
you know, and it was just this gal walking around looking at everybody or like looking at flowers in a vase and going, ooh, we're so close to King's Cross, even though we're in Dalston. If Dalston doesn't have any black people, but and it's close to King's Cross in Paris. So it's like, woo, yeah. Come to Vibe. And I remember it went vile. It was torn apart by Vice magazine. Yeah. Just picked apart, and I was like, great, we're going to use perfect. This because it's a perfect example of, you know, what's going on, in London.
Yeah.
Really in pretty much any city that...
Nobody ever builds flat. You can't buy a flat. It has to be a luxury flat. Luxury flats are being built. Luxury apartments. They never say apartments. They just say luxury apartments.
You know what's weird?
I have weird
property envy dreams. It's freaky. Like in my dreams, I'll go to this place and it'll be a really big, like, warehouse space or something, a really nice flat. And I'm like, I wonder how they afford this. In my dreams, thinking about, like, the cost of space.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to end my days on a tent on a level crossing. So I have my property envy is
I love those artists' impressions of how development is going to look. Like the whole of Elephant and Castle, which they're just redeveloping to within an inch of its life. And there's all these chairs and tables and people sitting having cappuccinos under trees. And, it ain't going to be like that.
Has there been an art project where somebody does that and there just, like, puts graffiti like, a homeless person and a pile of human poo and, you know, somebody with their, like, you know, bulldog and, you know, a family.
In other words, just go down to take a picture of Elephant and Castle.
So another polemic is, of course, racism and the dating app chat. The in-flight, what was the dating app called? In-flight,
it was called Wings of Love.
Oh, that's actually very lovely.
With the most irritating music on the planet, just looping for everyone. No, and those are actual conversations.
No!
I drew them from my time on,
like Telegram, WhatsApp,
Bumble,
kind of,
Tinder, Happn.
Yeah.
I was on OkCupid for a moment. But yeah, they're all real conversations. Wow.
It's really startling because, you know, you're laughing and then suddenly it gets a bit dark. And then you think, oh, you feel guilty for having laughed. And it's a real moment in the show.
It's crazy. I mean, I was like, okay, I have to comment about this thing that everyone's familiar with or their friends are familiar with if they haven't, like, used these apps or tried to online date. And I was like, all right, I can't make any of this up. It's got to be real. Otherwise, it's not going to... You know, you
really
can kind of tell when someone's faking it, you know.
Yeah, but producer Nick to my left says about the show is, to me, the selling point of the show. So it's really, like, it's hilarious and brilliant. You're like, oh, my God, this is so funny. And it's, like, satirical. There's a bit with Fancy is the another video when she's the world leader's wife or the Korean leader's
Kim Jong-un's
wife.
Kim Jong-un. Yes.
God, yes. that is hilarious. But then you get this real oof in the gut moment. So it's really poignant. And when you talk the song to your mother, so tell us, so you, what you were left.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you know how basically there was a certain time and it still occurs now where there are known places to leave unwanted children, and oftentimes they're babies. So, you know, a police station, for instance, would be a place where you know that they'd be given to an orphanage, basically, from that point. My story regarding being found in a box at a police station is a very common orphan story, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Although no less shocking and,
and
heartbreaking.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's, I like sharing that tale because I think most people are very familiar with adoption, but not necessarily familiar with the circumstances because no one really wants to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone knows someone who's had an abortion or maybe who's given someone up for adoption or struggled to adopt, blah, blah, blah. You know, it encompasses a lot of, like, really close to home subjects, especially for women. So it's nice to be able to kind of share that. And then it opens up a little bit of a world to a new awareness, if that makes any sense, to a great portion of my audience because they're like, oh, you know, they'll read something about adoption or kind of a refugee situation and it changes their perspective a bit because they have a more personal kind of story.
Do you always want a message in your work? Do you always want a message in your work?
Yes. It's sometimes hard to make it clear what that is. Sometimes it's hard to kind of distill my complaint or my use of satire down to what the core message is, because I have lots of complaints about everything. but yes, I mean, now at this point, you know, in my let's cast off the crap thing, now I do want there to be a message, because I think it's important for art, and especially live art, because you only have that moment to kind of get them. And if you can trick them into thinking the way you want them to think.
Oh, I love the manipulation involved
here. I know, we have to.
With when I was, because like you're a huge name, I'd heard about you and everything, but you do so much. So it's burlesque, drag, circus, live art. It's like, and so when I came to see you last night, I just thought, is all that going to happen? And actually it didn't. And I was kind of glad, because it was pared down, and I think it's more powerful. And I wonder if when you can do all that so well, is there a danger of over-egging that talented pudding? Do you know, I mean, are you tempted to kind of just, I'll throw that in, because I know I can do
well,
it.
Well, that's kind of, when I first did the show, or first decided to do a solo show, I was like, Nathan, what do we do? So we just kind of figured out the structure of the flight situation so we could chuck in acts that already existed. And then it was just too much. It didn't quite make sense. And so we just decided to scrap most of it. And some of the videos already existed. Actually, no one already existed. basically, we just had to cast off all the other stuff that I wanted to put in, because it just didn't make any sense. And
you don't lose the power.
Well, and also, I know I can, I don't, because of my short form performance that I do, I don't really get an opportunity to act. I'm not known as a cabaret singer, so I don't really make opportunities for me to sing. Because also, I know amazing people who sing amazingly, and I'll let them do it. You know, I'll hang by my hair. I'll like do a funny drag
you
show.
You hang by your hair.
Yeah. In Soho.
Does that hurt?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Yes,
thank you for asking. Do you strengthen your hair in any way?
I do treatments. I massage my scalp a lot.
Nick does that for me.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
He never touches me. you got this power. So yeah, how would you sum up the show? So you start by walking through the audience, kind of, you know, it's in flight. We're on a plane.
I would sum up the show by, well, no, I mean, really, it's just an autobiographical show that tries to include people, the audience, in a personal story that eventually just involves all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more costume changes than Cher.
I know.
And of course, the videos give you the opportunity to go and change, and so it's
exactly.
It obviously, you know, there's a sketch and a video and a sketch.
Exactly. And it's a canny use of luggage.
Yes,
canny
indeed.
Use of luggage. Yes. When you have the film, excuse me, I'm just going to cough. Please, all just say something nice while I'm coughing.
She's coughing.
I'm back.
We'll edit that out when it goes out live.
What was I going to say? No, I've lost what I was going to say. Anyway, so it doesn't matter. Let me read some of your reviews, because these are, you know, twisted. Sick, even.
You'd love reviews like that.
But that's the point. I would pay good money for that. Consistently hilarious. Fancy Chance is an exceptional performing artist who combines rare circus skills with high art aesthetics and old world cabaret charm. A giant in the world of the performance. That was Andrew Logan. And we honestly loved it. It was real, you know, it was.
Can I get a quote from you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
And the song, oh my god, and there's a line in the song that just made me had a little BB tear. It was absolutely brilliant. Let me give some details and then we're talking.
There is nudity, I have to say.
I know, I'm sorry about that, everyone.
I'm sorry.
It's a PG rated show.
It's more than PG.
Yeah, maybe.
It's not quite. Would it be rated more nudity than like Eyes Wide Shut?
Oh. Let's get Tom Cruise on the phone. I know he listens.
I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, I never want to see Nicole Kidman.
Don't you?
Naked. No.
Oh, interesting.
Is she naked? She is naked. I don't know. I get distracted by her face now.
Well, we can I don't want to criticize anyone for their looks,
but holy crap. I mean, like, all these poor women in Hollywood and in show business, their world is so encompassed by each other that all these things that seem like alien face to us are normal to them. And actually, I have an anecdote about Soho. No, one of my first jobs was working the holiday season at Agent Provocateur on Broadwick Street.
Yeah.
And I remember I was working, I think Paloma Faith helped get me that job. But a bunch of ladies who actually ended up doing quite well in their field of, you know, stuff that they were working on. But, you know, obviously we all had to make money. But anyway, so we'd wear these little pink dresses and show lots of cleavage because we're working at Agent Provocateur. I wouldn't walk out the door that way because if anyone says anything to me, it's just like and throw bins. Anyway, but
bins,
and throw, oh my god, don't get me drunk and have somebody say something to a girlfriend.
You know that's totally what I'm gonna do now.
But anyway,
throw bins. I don't throw
I
them.
Get in
I
bins.
I kick them and freak out. No, but anyway, so in the store, the kind of the culture of makeup and the habits that we'd have in store would be, you know, winged eyeliner and lots of blush right on the apples of our cheeks and, you know, a crimson lip of, like, you know, from dark, dark, deep, you know, almost blackish red to orangey red. And you know, we looked like hookers, like old day hookers or something like that. But we were all wearing it and it was fine. But we were all used to the way that looked.
Yeah. And then when you step out.
And then when you step out, people are like, well, she looks odd.
You look like Betty Davis and Baby Jane.
Kind of, actually. But that, you know, I think that's what happens to these poor ladies who are scrutinizing themselves and just, you know, like starving themselves before award ceremonies.
But it happens younger and younger. So I was working somewhere recently and the girls there were really lovely and really bright and, you know, really, really fantastic, funny girls. Oh my God, they all had their tits done and they all had their lips done. They were having Botox at their mid-20s.
I know.
It's so depressing.
I don't. Ugh. No, and in my show, when I have the makeup tutorial.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Which was my commentary on all the beauty stuff. And when I'm doing the exercise video, the exercise, you know, air hostess. it's really amazing, kind of, you know, I see all these little girls now who have been watching these makeup tutorials. And I remember at one time years ago, I just happened upon one and I said, ooh, what's this? It's this woman telling me what kind of foundation I need to wear and the methods and stuff. And I said, ooh, and I think I binged. And then I got really upset with myself. And then so occasionally I'll watch something about a review about a makeup thing. But then you walk around and you see these girls and they have perfect skin. They're 16 and they have done every makeup tutorial on their face
at the same time.
And they are highlighted and it's contoured. Like you could just kind of reach in and kind of, it's like their face is made of clay before you get down to their actual perfect skin. Beautiful young skin. And then they use this weird shit Sorry.
It's fine.
Where they, like, they scrub it all off with these machines, and then they, like, take all their... They think that the natural oil... Have you seen those weird zit?
You hang by
the
your hair.
Yeah. Anyways, it's upsetting to see that, like, this culture of beauty is really, like... I mean, these poor gals... I think makeup's fun, but I think that some young gals wear this makeup because they're like, I've got to do this thing.
And especially,
I've got to look good. Because if I don't look good, then I'm crap.
Yeah. And especially, I mean,
because that's how the world is judging me is on my.
I'd happily go to a shop in slippers. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
I have no, you know, I mean, that's come with age. Yeah. But like, you know, I also sing in public now. But, But yeah, these girls are like, you know, an inch of contour before they even go to the post office. But anyway, Fancy Chance, Flights of Fancy, is playing at Soho Theatre on Dean Street until this Saturday, 29th of April. For further information to book tickets, go to sohotheatre.com. And for updates on all Fancy's other exciting projects, follow her on Twitter at @fancy_chance and go visit fancychance.com. And please go down. It honestly is such a brilliant show and we really loved it. Fancy Chance.
Yes.
You're here also to answer some questions about Soho.
Yes.
You're an accomplished artist, very, very talented. Producer Nick to my left.
Mm-hmm.
I gifted him the opportunity of impressing me with his talent. And
Why do we have to do this every
time? Because I'm angry.
What is going on?
This is what he came up with.
Well, BB asked me to make a jingle for this section of the show.
Okay.
And it should just be, you know, we're just chatting and then the jingle comes in and then we go into that segment. But she draws attention to it. I don't think...
Tell me what you think. Honestly. Okay.
You know, I mean, it's a little throwaway thing and...
Look at
what is it saying? I mean, like,
my Soho on Soho Radio. My
Soho on Soho Radio. Actually, say the truth. Say, cut the crap. We've cut in the crap in life now. You tell the truth.
The robot needs to enunciate better.
Okay.
Anyway, this is the My Soho section of the show.
I mean, just pump, just push it up
just
a little bit.
Just push it up a little bit, Bridget. How many times have I told you that?
Yeah.
We don't. It's like. Daft Punk meets...
Yeah, kind of ELO kind of thing.
It's a lot of marijuana.
It's a lot of too much. Too much Mary J.
Do you want these?
Yeah, unless you...
Okay. Hey, Fancy Chance.
Okay.
Before you ever came to Soho, what did the name Soho mean to you? What did it evoke in you?
You know, it evoked more associations, actually, with New York, because I'm American.
Really?
Really, yes. I'm from the United States of America. Not Canada. But really, like, I kind of... England was England to me. And also, I mean, before I moved here, the internet existed just didn't exist in the same way regarding how you could look something up and find a video and kind of explore a neighborhood, or Google Earth didn't exist, so you couldn't, like, you
which
know,
means
a Google
Earth
Street
exist.
Map or whatever, you know, so you couldn't, like, you know, I do have little weird adventures online where I look through a place. It was, Soho was just very abstract to me, because I hadn't seen lots of films or anything that
so it didn't hold that mystery for you. There wasn't anything like, ooh,
no,
dare I?
And I wasn't, like, focusing in on it when I saw, you know, The Naked Civil Servant or something.
Yeah. So what is it now? What's Soho mean to you now?
Soho was the first neighborhood that I really learned. Because when I talk to people about the streets of London, I'm like, it's a plate of spaghetti. There's no grid. It's a bunch of medieval places that have just been smashed together. And there's, like, some vague Roman roads that, you know, people still travel on. And so I remember, you know, because I moved here in 2003 and I always had the mini A to Z with me because you had to. It's just as simple as that. No matter who you were, you could know London inside and out. No, you wouldn't have to take one around with you if you were black. Cab driver.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only person.
Or London, I've got to say, even the times I've got lost, I wouldn't get my A to Z out.
Really?
Because I felt like I was betraying myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pathetic.
Oh, no. No, but then I guess you get to ask people.
I just walk and never turn up where I need to go.
Yeah.
Just always late.
But no, Soho. So basically, yeah, my first job was I worked at Agent Provocateur and I was living in Bedford Court. Just near Tottenham Court Road. Mm. And so I'd walk here.
Great place to live.
Yeah. I lived there for like maybe 6 months or something. And I'd walk around here and I remember just looking at my A to Z, just going, oh my God. And then crossing Tottenham Court Road and then going into Soho. And I was like, it's good here. It's really, really good. And the gals at Agent Provocateur are amazing. And then I ended up working at, this lingerie fetish clubby wear place, called Paradiso. And that was on Old Compton Street.
Yeah.
And there were two. There was one that sold like the leather daddy rubber stuff, and then there was like the more club gear stuff and the higher end lingerie. And then they also owned this place called Slinky's, which was just a few doors down. I think it's all Hotel Chocolate now.
Yeah,
actually. Sure. We can get to that. But yeah, and Slinky's would sell the oldest products from the Paradisos, and they also sold, you know, pornography and sex toys and all manner of things.
Oh,
the days.
Heaven, isn't it?
Oh, the days.
No.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
So Soho was the first neighborhood you were like, yeah, I know this. I loved when you said when you arrived in London and kind of got off the tube, you're like, yeah, home.
Yeah. Well, there's also, it's like, as a, quote, minority person, you just, it's nice to kind of feel like you're just somebody else on the street. Rather than, like, even though people will comment to me and say ching chong ching or whatever.
What?
It happens. I mean, it,
what do you do when that happens?
I mean, what do you do? You're just like, you know, they're already an idiot. They've already displayed that by what they've said. So it's not as if you can be like, hey, you're an idiot. And they'll be like,
chink. Oh my God.
Or, you know, whatever
God,
it is. They just don't even know. They're like, and it's always men, and it's just this weird say what you see thing. China! You know, they're like, They don't know what to say. They have to acknowledge you somehow, and they want to be heard. So they just, this weird stuff comes out of their mouth. But it's so common. And it's always younger. Well, actually, no, it's a lie. It's a total lie.
Don't lie.
But I'm sorry, it's always men.
I know.
What's wrong with you people?
I apologize on behalf of my gender.
It's just... I'll tell you what we also do on this lovely show. We ask our lovely guests to think of three songs that have a Soho memory.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a first on the show today. I'm so excited. It won't be a first on the station, will it? But it might be. I don't know.
Probably.
I hope so.
Please.
So, fancy chance in front of me. I love your tattoos.
Thank you.
Please, can we have a BB tattoo? And if you don't want it permanently, I'll just draw it on.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you chose. Do you want to choose the first song that fancies?
Well, shall we go with that one?
Yeah. Okay, so let's go with It's My Barry Manilow, who's gay.
Is he?
Apparently. And Mandy.
Oh,
so why this one?
Well, I was working at Paradiso and
Barry came in.
No. So you have this
and he had these.
You have these locals who are coming in all the time and basically talking to you, and a lot of the locals who were coming in a lot were slightly older and kind of just needed company as well. I mean, it's just like they'd hop to these different places.
Yeah.
And the people who owned Paradiso, they were old school Soho people, Tony and Angela. And I think Tony had a few properties here, and he had stories about gangster twins kicking each other downstairs, and, you know, he'd tell me all these old stories about Soho, which was great. So anyways, this guy comes in, and he's a gentleman probably in his late 60s or 70s, and he had a very posh accent, and he'd come in, and, you know, I think he was queer, I'm fairly certain, and he'd come in and he'd try on a net shirt, but he'd just take off his shirt, and he'd put on this net club, you know, this younger man's wear, and it was hilarious. But also, he wrote jingles for advertisements, and he wrote, you know, soundtracks, and, you know, he also wrote Mandy, you know, but it was also, you know, actually it was about brandy, because, you know, he's a raging alcoholic. And if you listen to the lyrics carefully, you know, he's sitting in a basement, he's looking out the window, and everything looks like shadow. So, yes.
The man who wrote. Mandy, do we know his name? We need to look this up.
Look him up. No, I don't. It's just like, I remember him so clearly. And he'd just come in, he'd take off his shirt, try on some club gear.
I wrote Mandy.
And I mean, you know, that shop was on a corner, and the windows were big, and you could really see
it. I remember
it
well, that shop, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but
yeah.
You do.
I used to work around the corner and pass it on it.
Blimey, Nick, keep it down. Please play the track.
Barry Manilow's is Mandy.
Face through a window, crying in the night. The night goes into morning, just another day. Happy people pass my way. Looking in their eyes, I see a memory.
He's gay, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm Bebe Lynch. This is Bebe Does Soho on Soho Radio, sohoradiolondon.com, and we have a blooming app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London, everybody. And I'm in studio with Fancy Chance, who I think I love you.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do.
I think I can feel it.
I'm sorry about that. That could be cystitis, which is the. I keep saying cystitis on this show, and no one likes
if
it.
If you
when
did
I say
a
one, it.
One woman show, that would be the
cystitis.
It could be cystitis by Bebe Lynch.
Why not? You know, one
Fancy
Charts.
This is what happened to me last night. I know we're running out of time, but I've got to tell you, this is hilarious. My new guffawing position, apparently, and I don't know why it's happened, is to kind of lean forward from my waist, to kind of fall down and stick my arse in the air. And last night at Leicester Square Tickets bit with me and producer Nick.
I said something hilarious.
It was hilarious. And my arse landed on a man's cock.
Oh, dear.
And I got to be honest.
You literally backed onto a random.
Yeah.
Wow.
He took it very well, if you excuse
I don't
the,
think his wife was too
she
pleased.
Was, she was. There was less love from ladies.
Less understanding.
Cock. She wasn't less an understanding empathy. Woman. I see problems in that relationship if she doesn't learn to understand.
But this was Leicester Square Tube Station in the rush hour, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Leicester Square.
Yeah. I'm wearing BB cream and I feel a bit shiny. Anyway, Fancy Chance. What's your favourite Soho bar, restaurant or venue?
Mine is Coach and Horses.
Oh.
And
Norman's.
I think... Really, like, you go in and you kind of know that there, you feel a sense of history there. And I had the pleasure of doing a kind of a sketch comedy satire cabaret upstairs.
Oh, right.
With Dusty Limits and, and Tricity Vogue. And, you know, you can feel it in the walls and you just look at the walls and you're like, oh, there's satirical, cartoons. On the walls, and you're like, oh, I can feel this literary thing seeping in, and then somebody will get on the piano, and it's just, it's absolutely Soho, and it's absolutely English at the same time.
Oh, I love that. Buildings do have
It really
they absorb,
do.
Don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I it's just lovely. Modest.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
Nothing, they're not like punching you in the face with like, you know, feel the history of the yeah. coach and horses. It's just, it just exists.
The bar downstairs. Hi, Matt, if you're listening. Who's in Mexico, so maybe not. Maybe you will. I don't know. Have apps in Mexico.
The beauty of the internet.
Anyway, the, oh my God, the actual internet. Matt and I went there for a drink once and they had pickled eggs in a jar with cloves and yeggs. So it just looked like little aliens with little eyes. I didn't sleep for about a week.
That sounds so delicious.
Next time I'm going to get you three. Okay. Just three, you. So we were going to play Nick Cave, but we haven't got time. But quickly tell us the story about the Nick Cave. Is that a terrible thing to do?
Well, nah. I've been working at what was the Raymond's Review Bar for ages, but in all its different, like Too Much, Soho Review Bar, and now The Box. And when it was the Soho Review Bar, I ended up being a show gal in a Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds video that was filmed there, and it was more news from nowhere. And the people who directed his documentary, the 20,000 minutes. What was it called? Do you remember?
I don't know. Google it.
Really great filmmakers. Basically, they did this really long, gorgeous music video for them, and I think Beth Orton was in it. Will Self was in it. Peaches Geldof. There were all these cameos of people that he knew, but it was so nice because they were the club band.
Yeah.
So they were just kind of jamming on stage, and there's some pole dancers. And
20,000 Days on Earth.
Yes, yeah, no, 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 no.
Directed by Ian Forsythe and Jane Pollard.
Yes.
Jane Pollard. I love Jane's work.
Lovely. I knew that.
I know that.
And they're lovely humans as well.
How brilliant to be in that.
Yeah, and I also feel like, you know, it was filmed and it you see into the dressing room and in the toilet and the club itself before it turned into The Box. And it's just, it's nice to be able to see it kind of almost as it originally was regarding where the booths were and everything.
Yeah. So. Oh, that sounds really
cool.
This is your last question.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you any more questions. I might slip in one. Oh, don't ask Lady Cock again. What's been your most memorable night out in Soho?
Oh, no. This is the memory.
Go on. The memory.
My favorite, craziest, strongest memory. It was, again, Paradiso, Old Compton Street. Hot, hot, hot. It was so hot that I remember, you know, no one has aircon here, but everyone got an aircon unit. And so all you saw were these, like, weird tubes hanging out of every door. Because it's so rare when it's that warm. And I remember the Algerian coffee shop guys, like, it was so hot, we just had to stand out on the street and be like, hey, and they're like, do you want some coffee? Yes, please, can we have some coffee?
Ice, make it ice.
And, you know, no one was going into the shops. And everybody outside of the Great Admiral was shirtless. So you just saw the sea of bald, shining heads and glistening bodies of soon-to-be redness. And then I remember it's like the seas parted and this woman who looked like Farrah Fawcett. She was in a gold lamé jumpsuit and knee-high boots and these blonde locks. And basically she was working Old Compton Street. She was marching down like Naomi Campbell was like under her feet, and she's just grinding the pavement. And the seas parted of with all the gay men just parted for her, and they gave her a standing ovation. And she just worked it. And I just remember, I don't know. She was just a fabulous person who's like, I'm just going to work.
Own
I'm just doing
this.
My thing in my gold lamé bodysuit with my knee-high boots on the hottest day on record ever in London.
She didn't care about sweat.
And got a standing ovation from a bunch of shirtless men.
Well, and isn't that the dream?
I know! Isn't that the dream? It was brilliant.
Fancy Chance, Flights of Fancy, is playing at Soho Theatre on Dean Street until this Saturday, 29th of April. For further information and to book tickets, go to sohotheatre.com. And for updates on all Fancy's other brilliant projects, follow her on Twitter.
Are you reading
Fancy,
this?
Shut your face, _Chance, and go visit fancychance.com. It's been so lovely to meet you.
It's been lovely.
We love the show so much. So everyone,
seriously, go and see it.
Please go and see it. And please introduce your final Soho memory song for us.
Oh, well, this is from a kind of Gaz's rock and blues, Black Gardenia. There's a certain set here of people who were doing kind of not, well, rockabilly-ish nights, but it wasn't that necessarily. It was like there was a bit of a swing scene and a bit of just a really fun nightlife scene that was going on here when I first moved here. And it's still, there's pockets of it, but, you know, I remember going to Gaz's Rock and Blues and then doing stuff at the Cafe Royal and kind of around here. And that, this song, what did I choose?
Walking Blues,
yeah. I just remember being at like the Arts Theater Club and this song, when this song plays, it was always kind of call and response for whoever was on the dance floor. And I like this version because there's a female.
Jesse Powell and his orchestra.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Walk right in, walk right out. 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 Walk right in, walk right out.
That's what this song is all about. Well, I got a man who likes to hustle, but when he comes home in the morning, all he wants to do is
walk right in, walk right out. 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 Walk right in, walk right out.
I like to dance the Susie Q, the conga and the truck. Romantic, all I want to do is
walk right in, walk right out. 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 Walk right in, walk right out.
There when you want me, some way, somehow. Oh, baby,
Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, dead. Both dead.
Both of them.
Did she die in his arms? Or I made that up.
I don't know the detail of
anyway,
that.
If anyone knows, do let us know. Hey, welcome to the second hour of BB Does Soho. I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio. SohoRadioLondon.com. We have an app coming to you from our beautifully Bijou coffee bar and studio on Great Windmill Street. I just had a hot chocolat, which is German for hot chocolate, yes. I believe.
And you managed not to spill it down yourself.
I know. I just put it all in my beautiful mouth. Come down and say hello. If you're too shy to say hi, tweet us at Soho Radio or at BB Lynch. We would love to hear from you. Not you, Dante, you rude. You're being rude. And MJ being rude on Twitter. And you, Oscar. I've got all your names, all your numbers. So the brilliant Fancy Chance just entertained us with tales of her Soho. How great was she?
Brilliant.
She's
brilliant.
So amazing.
Seriously, if you are at a loose end tonight, tomorrow or Saturday.
Yeah.
Go along, Soho Theatre, Dean Street. Absolutely. It's good fun. And it's only an hour long, and it starts early. So you can see that, and it'll set you up for the evening, and you can go on somewhere after. Perfect.
Why do you never talk to me about me like that?
What?
In kind of glowing, getting people to support me ways.
Because you don't have a fabulous comedy show at the Soho Theatre, do you?
Anyway, in a few minutes, publicist and friend-o show, Anna Goodman will be here to talk about Hip Hop Festival Breaking Convention 17. But first, ladies and gents, oh, I love this version. It's Prince, and La 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 means I love you.
Hey, girl. I bet you didn't know I had both eyes on you. It's true. And you know what? I've seen all those other guys too. Maybe frankly, I don't give a damn.
Many guys have come to you with a line that wasn't true. And you person burst
them
by. Though you're in the city ring and the lines don't mean a thing. Why don't you
and La 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 means I love you. Prince, dead. I love Prince. Guess what?
Pretty much a year ago today.
21st, April 21st, yeah. It was a few days ago. I was out with someone. Hello, Rob. Guess what? Our second guest is here. Friend O' Show, Anna Goodman, as producer Nick says. The brains and beauty behind brilliant abstract publicity promoting theatre, circus, live art and dance is here to tell us about fabulous project, Breaking Convention 17. Hiya.
Hello, BB.
That's Mancunian for hello.
Hello, and hello, producer Nick.
Hello, Anna. Welcome.
And producer Ellie.
Hiya. Absolutely.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm a little bit worse for wear.
Oh,
we had press night for Fancy Chance
of
last
course.
Night. Yes, absolutely. But it was a great joy to get up for Soho Radio this morning.
You're just saying that.
Breaking Convention, I'm really excited about this, so I'm coming along on Sunday.
You are.
And it's the critically acclaimed International Festival of Hip Hop Dance Theatre, and it's on at Sadler's and Lillian Bayliss on Saturday, Sunday and Bank Holiday Monday. So what goes on there?
Well, it's been a very groundbreaking influence in theatre because a long
it's
time
huge.
Ago. Yeah, well, what actually happened was that John Z. Dee, who is a hip hop theatre director, he's a poet, he's an MC, he's studied dance, he makes shows that incorporate all of these things, had this idea to do a hip hop dance festival because he knew that there were people in other countries making work that people weren't seeing in mm-hmm. certain theatres, particularly in the UK. Mm. So he got together with Sadler's Wells and they programmed the first festival in 2004. And I was on board at that point.
Were you?
So it's a long, long time. I think I've worked on it every single May Bank holiday ever since 2004. And it's been very influential because at that time you didn't have shows that were doing runs of hip hop. You didn't have hip hop on programs. I mean, now they have sort of various crews on you know, reality programs and contests. You didn't have that back then. In fact, I think breakdancing, people had kind of forgotten about the skills involved and also in different countries, how they adapt it. For example, in France, they have a big circus culture. So they, incorporate hip hop with a lot of things that are very, there's a certain level of contortion and sort of mind-boggling moves. You know, different countries have different techniques and different styles and different influences and different humour, but they all come under this universal hip hop dance.
What's the UK style? How would that be defined?
Well, that's very varied. But
ironic.
Very, very varied. I mean, no, I've seen all sorts of things. I mean, one of my favourite ever UK performances was by Newcastle crew who make a piece which was based on Dave Brubeck's Take Five, which was just wonderful. It was really theatrical. And then you have people like Boy Blue who are going to be performing this year.
Yeah, yeah. And they were up for the Laurence Olivier.
They were. And they've been around a long time. They're in based in Stratford. They have an association with the Barbican and they make huge scale work with, I don't know how many people they have on stage at once, but it's got to be about 50 or 60 people sometimes, and then sometimes there's just two or three, and they're all different ages, all different shapes and sizes, and they make these massive works that are really powerful. They have a huge fan base and they've done a lot as well for hip hop dance and theatre in the UK, and it's evolved. It's become something that people see a lot more of now. And also the other thing is to keep the authenticity and the credibility and not to make it watered down and you know, too sort of commercial. But it is commercial without having to try to be.
Can I say something that's going to age me and prove how stupid I am?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Doesn't usually.
No, it never stops me. This time I'm asking for permission. Is hip hop still as big as it was?
I think it's bigger. I think it's been through phases. And I think that you've had a phase where you had a lot of independent labels making hip hop records, especially in the late 90s, which have spawned the scene that Eminem came from originally. So you've had waves of different things. Then you've had more hip hop influenced in indie music. And I think that now it's more universally known because don't forget there's three generations of people that come to hip hop, that know hip hop, going back to the 70s. So we have, you know, different family age groups coming along. We have people with very small children. We have people who are even older than me. You know,
what?
We have all sorts of people.
You're such an idiot.
It's filtered into other areas more now than ever before.
Yeah, much more. And also there was this phase when hip hop dance first toured the country where people really, and this is kind of funny thinking about it, were still thinking that hip-hop somehow involved gangsters. There was all this stuff going on in a way of people being slightly cautious of hip-hop dance and not realising that actually it's the polar opposite of that. It's something that has a culture both musically and creatively, which involves music, it involves dancing, it involves artwork, and it's a really, really creative and very positive thing. But there was, but it had to sort of, I think Breaking Convention was instrumental in putting that message
in
across.
Breaking,
yeah,
perception. And so there's the show, and it, and it's on for several days, and different show, different days, a different lineup. So I'll give you the address, everyone, and you can have a look and see who's on when. But there's also, and I love all this as well, there's pre-show and interval foyer fun as well.
There is.
So there's DJs, freestyle dance, dance interval jam.
I know, I really love that.
Wait till you see it, BB.
And you don't just mean the peanut.
I don't, what?
Don't stop it. Graffiti exhibitions.
Yes.
Aerosol art.
I took
a breath before I said that. I'm really excited about all of this. So do I have to join in though? Because you know I don't like
people.
Well,
you can if you want. I mean, you know, on a personal level, I think you should.
Okay.
You can break and dance.
I can break hearts and my shoulder comes out. I think that combination means I'll be brilliant at this. Who are you excited about seeing, Anna?
Well, we have a crew coming over from South Africa called the Soweto Skeleton Movers. Mm. And they never really seem to do the same thing twice. And yet every time they do anything, it just gets better and better. And they do this kind of dance, which is evolved out of the townships in South Africa called Pansula. And it's hard to explain, except that it's a little bit of, it's fun, it's upbeat, it's creative, it has elements of hip hop and jazz, it's very raw, it's not choreographed, it kind of is, it feels like it's very improvised, so there's a real spontaneity to it, and I'm really excited about them, because they brought the house down last year.
That's the best name, isn't it? Yeah. There's certain acts, the way you just, you want to see them because the name is so good.
And the thing is, you will see them on Sunday because you're coming on Sunday and they're performing, and they're also going to be touring the country because Breaking Convention is going on tour.
Well, this is what I want to say, because I think this is brilliant. So people who can't make this weekend for whatever reason, Breaking Convention 17 will tour to 9 UK venues until June, throughout
until June the 3rd, absolutely.
And again, Soweto Skeleton Movers, Canadian group Tentacle Tribe, Just Dance from South Korea. It's a huge, brilliant.
Yeah, all very different.
Let me give the details and come down on Sunday and watch me. Breaking Convention 17.
You bust a move.
Watch me. Move a bust. Breaking Convention 17 takes place Saturday 29th of April to Monday 1st of May at Sadler's Wells and Lillian Bailey's studio. For further information, to buy tickets, go to sadlerswells.com. For more details on Breaking Convention 17 tour, go visit breakingconvention.com. Anna Goodman, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, BB.
And we will see you on Sunday.
You will. It's also on Saturday. Monday is a free park jam.
Oh.
In the nearby Spa Field. So it's actually not at Sadler's Wells, but that's all, when it sells out, which it will do this year, all the people who can't go and see Breaking Convention in London on Saturday and Sunday can go to the free park jam.
Okay, you've got
and,
it all covered.
You know, they will be dancing in the park and listening to hip hop.
Oh, shame we're not playing Dance in the Street now, isn't it? But what we are playing is There's a Ghost in My House by Ardeen Taylor. Thanks, Anna.
There it is.
There's a ghost in my house.
There's a ghost in my house.
The ghost of your memory.
The ghost of the love you took from me.
Where our love used to be. All these shadows from the past I see. Time can't seem to erase the vision of your smiling face. Though you found someone new, I can't get over you. There's a ghost in my house, and I can't hide from the ghost of your love that's inside. It keeps on haunting me, just keeps on reminding me. In my mind I know you're gone, but my heart keeps holding on to the memories of those happy times. You're always in my heart. There's a ghost in my house. I can't hide from the ghost of your love that's inside. You're still such a part of me. Still so deep in the heart of me. I just keep hearing your footsteps on the stairs. Well, I know there's no one there. Every day I love you more. So much more than the day before. Sitting in my easy chair, I feel your fingers running through my hair. Looking down in my coffee cup, I think I see your face looking up.
Your voice echoes through the room. There's a ghost in my house, and I can't hide from this ghost of the love that's inside. It keeps on haunting me, just keeps on reminding me. I just keep hearing your footsteps on the stairs. When I go, there's no one there. You're still such a part of me.
You're listening to BB Does Soho on Soho Radio, sohoradiolondon.com. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London. And that was There's a Ghost in My House by R. Dean Taylor. What's the R for? Robin, I think.
I don't know, but the interesting thing about him, he was one of the first white artists to be signed to Motown. And he was the first white artist, or the only white artist, to have a number one on the Motown label.
That's amazing. A huge Northern Soul song as well, isn't
it? He's Canadian, I found out.
Did much Motown move to Northern Soul?
Northern Soul was encompassed a lot of Motown.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Guess what? Say what?
What?
Our final guest is
here. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Soho Radio. Designer, author, television presenter, producer, and property and social housing expert, Luke Doonan.
Good morning.
Hello. I'm all right. How are you doing?
Thank you. I feel like an excited child.
Oh, it's so nice to see you. I've been after you for years, as you know.
So I hear.
I know. Stalker. And I'm so... It's a little bit stalky. It's a little bit. But, Elton John, he's all right now, isn't he?
What was wrong with
him? He was ill.
Was he?
Intensive care.
Two days. Yeah. He's recovering at home in winter.
Yeah. I didn't know. I was
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I thought David Furnish was your best mate.
Sorry to hear that.
Cancelled his American tour?
Yeah, cancelled a tour. Yeah. Hey, Luke, can I tell people what you did for me? I'll do it in a casual
professionally or personally, love.
I'll do it in a casual way.
It doesn't take long to degenerate.
No, and it's gonna embarrass you, but I just need to say it because it's just so amazing. So everyone,
okay.
I was having another housing crisis, as you know. Do you remember when I had a housing crisis?
Yes, you've been having one for several
years. 10 years now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway. So something was going on, and I was telling a mutual friend of mine and Luke's about this situation. And what was going on is the Christian landlady of the flat I was renting, who wished me a slow and miserable death, was bringing people around to the house, breaking her contract, turning up, blah, blah, blah. And I wanted out, but I was inconscient, didn't know what to do. And our mutual friend said, I've got someone who'll know what to do. And I had never met Luke, and Luke, like a lovely, lovely man, took on this issue and actually solved it for me and spoke to the woman and sorted it and got me to leave the flat and got my deposit back. How lovely is that?
I just can't use the language that I used with your Christian landlady.
Did you, though?
Yeah, I had to.
She was something else, wasn't she?
She was a bit of a cow.
She was. But that was, honestly, I thought it was such a sweet thing for you to do because we'd never met. And you really helped me out.
She didn't embody Christian values.
I don't think she did, really.
No.
Do they often?
She was running scared by the end of our conversation.
Was she?
Yeah,
oh, don't.
She was, you know, I'm a landlord, and I think if you're a landlord, just be a nice landlord. They're paying you the rent. You know, just be a nice person, have a bit of karma. But there are, obviously, like your major ongoing housing crisis, there are lots of dodgy landlords out there, unfortunately. So where I can help, I try and help. She was an utter cow.
She was an utter cow.
It's a crazy thing, though, isn't it? Because if you ran a shop, you'd want to be a good shopkeeper.
Exactly.
You'd want to get the customers to come back. You'd want to be pleasant. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing.
But there's a feeling of ownership as well over the... I really think people... Oh, God, don't get me on this. We are going to get on this because we're going to talk about Luke's new project and I will lose my shit in a row.
It's very close to your heart.
It's too close.
We're going to have tears.
My shattered... We will have several tears and then maybe a dance. to cheer us up after, I don't know. But I just think, do people have a sense of superiority and ownership, not over only their property, but the people that are in it? Is it seen as lesser to be renting and therefore you can treat them like
some people, yeah.
Crap?
Yeah.
But it comes down to money, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's
greed and it's wanting to earn as much as possible.
Totally, yeah. The sad thing is we're going a bit back to the old Victorian slum landlords because of the housing crisis and it's... Beds in sheds, all this kind of thing. It's not great.
So have you heard the stuff of landlords expecting sexual favours?
Yeah.
I wish I'd found...
Where is
that? I'll tell you what, I'll make a phone call later and I'll put you in touch with a suitable landlord. I know a lovely man in Palmer's Green.
But, oh, lovely, PG.
Yeah.
But can you imagine that?
Awful. But working on the last show I made, Council House Crackdown, we saw things on many estates, private estates, and... council estates across the UK that you just wouldn't believe, from, you know, prostitution to abuse. And I mean, literally, it was
to keep their homes.
Yes,
to keep their homes.
Yep. Absolutely. We're edging on slavery in some situations as well. So
I was in Hove recently. Hi, Billy. And I waved to them like she could say. Anyway, I was in Hove and it was lovely. And I was trying to work out, you know, what I was doing, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a flat to rent. So I checked it out. And actually what it was a room to rent in a flat. Mm-hmm. And I would be, they wanted me for £520 a month of English pounds
to
share with someone.
Share the room?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard of
bed share?
Yeah. So lots going on in sort of, as I said, PG, my favourite place, Palmer's Green, Wood Green. Just all along the North Circular, strangely, beds in sheds where people do a shift. So they will be in bed 7 to 7, so 7 in the morning until 7 at night, and then take over the nighttime shift. Person will come in and do 7 till 7 nighttime.
It's
insane.
We'll talk about this more because I'd like to get some content before I have a breakdown. But there is... It's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's being displaced, and I think it's the sin of this society. And I mean, Labour announced yesterday they were going to build 1 million houses. The trouble with an election is all the bullshit you hear before an election,
exactly.
And it's like, you know, I mean, that would be lovely. At least they're offering it. But how's that suddenly going to happen if it never happened?
It's
when
not,
they,
yeah.
Anyway, so let's go to.
Don't get me started.
So my point of about Luke is a. Really handsome. I'm going to marry him at some stage, I imagine. But, but also that he gives a shit, which brings us to Dispossession, the Great Social Housing Swindle. So you've exec produced this, Doc.
I have indeed, yeah. Basically, I made a show, a couple of shows for BBC One called Council House Crackdown over the last 2 years, where we looked at naughty people subletting their council flats, doing things they shouldn't. And I spent such a long time working on estates, and I'm a council flat kid. I'm, you know, proud to be a council flat kid. And... I started to look at the so-called regeneration schemes across London, and there's about 128 in total across the UK that we found, where councils are promising to regenerate your estate, make it all lovely, blah, blah, blah. But what they're actually doing is selling most of it off, putting about normally between 20 and 25% social housing back in the end. So you're losing about 75% of the social housing.
To private.
Making massive profits. And the Haygate Estate, the Aylesbury Estate, which you've probably heard of, Zone 1, Elephant and Castle. Literally, the councils are bullying people, abusing people to get them out. So I'm working with an amazing film director, Paul, at Velvet Joy Productions, and I've started my own production company, so it's a joint venture. And we've looked at the issue across the UK, and it's obviously I'm going to invite you to the film. It's coming out mid-June.
Yeah.
And it's a real, you said the word society, it's a real shock to see how we treat each other and how the people that should be looking after us, like local authorities, local councils, are almost behaving like they're private companies. And not only are a lot of them paying their execs sums of money that I think they shouldn't be earning as public servants, but they are killing communities, killing estates where some people who you'll see in the film have lived on estates for, you know, 40, 50 years. And what's happening, which is really shocking, is if you're a council tenant, they offer you a dwelling, a property somewhere else. That could be anywhere in the UK.
And they give like a week to get there or something, don't
they? Yeah. I mean, maybe a bit longer. But, you know, if you've lived somewhere for 40, 50 years, it is your community. We still just about have communities. So if you're a council tenant, if you decide not to take the first option that they give you, which could be a flat in Nottingham or somewhere anywhere in the UK, then you're classing yourself homeless. So you can't win. If you've bought under the right to buy and you've been lucky to own your own home, not that I believe in the right to buy, they're giving you paltry sums of money to move out, basically. Not good. So it's big councils across London, massive estates where there were 3,000-4,000 council properties. You're going to see Haygate Estate as one example. There were about 3,000 council properties. The average rent was about 150 quid a week. Mm-hmm. As we all know, we're going to need social housing forever. Mm-hmm. You can now buy a four-bed house for £1.4 million. And there's 82 social housing properties. So you're losing nearly 3,000.
Why? How are they allowed to get away with it? I mean, how there's no one overseeing any of it?
No.
Or the people that are overseeing it,
they
don't care.
Absolutely. The government and councils in the UK seem to be socially... I never thought I'd say that as a
social letter, cleansing.
Socially cleansing our city. And I couldn't... You know, I have been a property developer. I'm proud of that. I've worked hard. I've, you know, got some properties I rent out, all that kind of thing. And there comes a point in life where how much can you have? And then you have to look at society and community and say, as you said, I do give a shit. I really give a shit. Mm. And I've met people that are basically barricaded in their own homes, who have bought their homes from the council. The council, to give you an example, a lady called Beverly on the Aylesbury estate, she bought her flat for 150 grand. She lived there for 29 years in total as a council tenant before. The council's first offer was $65,000 to move off the estate. Absolute insult.
She couldn't buy a caravan.
Quite a car parking space round the corner, $50,000-$60,000. So it just shows you. And she's living in a block of flats on her own, where there's lighting to her floor only. The block is, there's a security guard
there's
to
no
let her in.
No one else in the whole
Nobody.
Building.
Yeah, I was there last week taking some photos, and it's just, I walked away in tears, because how can we possibly treat people like that in London in 2017?
And what's the impact on her?
Not great.
Impact.
She's lost her job. She's a really, I have absolute admiration for her, and I'm trying to help her as much as possible. The offer is now up, after 3 years, the offer's up to $225,000. Still, she can't buy anywhere. The flat was worth about $325,000, but the council stopped the cleaning, stopped the gardening, and obviously the value of her flat, no one's going to want to buy it. They can't buy it because it's under compulsory purchase.
It's just criminal, isn't it?
It is criminal.
It's immoral.
Yeah.
It's funny, I live near there, and I know the Aylesbury estate, and I think I'm right in saying it was when it was built, it was the largest social housing estate in Europe.
It was, yeah.
So it's very sad that's going.
Yeah.
Because regeneration should be a good thing, you know, regenerating an area for the people that live there to make it better for the people who live there.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's become a dirty word, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the problem is, I'm all for regeneration. As I said, I was born in a council flat, and our estate was pretty grim, to say the least. But, you know, what you have to do, what these councils have to do, is realise that they are working for the people. They are public servants. And I would say that every authority that wants to do a regeneration project has to put exactly the same or more social housing back. And that is not happening anywhere across the UK.
Anywhere.
So I'm kind of pulling my hair out. And that's why we've jointly made this film, which is quite an eye-opener to see what's going on.
I kind of can't wait to see it and don't want to see it, with all respect.
Sit next to me, I'll look after you. We can have a cry together. I'll bring some tissues.
Oh, there you go. Look, we're going to play a song.
That was a cry together, love.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. Literally. Did you hear about what happened to me? I'm going to tell Luke off air about Leicester Square yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll play a track, and then we'll come back and talk to Luke more about dispossession.
That I will be right here to remind you.
Jackson always sounds like she's having SEX in her songs, doesn't she?
I think she probably is or was.
I'm Bebe Lynch. This is Bebe Does Soho on Soho Radio, and that was Janet Jackson. I believe she used to be in the Osmonds. can't be stopped. Luke,
help.
Yeah.
So you bought your first place at 18.
I did.
Got a lovely property portfolio, and I only cite that because hey, I'm very happy to have a home finally. But you could be really I'm all right, Jack, about this. So why do you care about it? Because why? Because So many people who have kind of got to where you are choose not to see that now.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like politics. I'm not rolling in it, as it were, but I'm, you know, comfortable. I run my business. I work hard, always have. I think it goes back to the fact that I really appreciated having a council flat when I was a kid. And the problem, I think, with society now is, in the old days, if you had a council flat, you were doing well. Most people were working, despite what all these horrible documentaries show. But now, we treat people who live on council estates, which I think is absolutely disgusting, like the rotting bricks of some of the council estates. It's almost like you're a second class citizen.
Yeah.
And people like Tony Blair, David Cameron, all these, it's a bit like, you know, you said earlier, when there's an election, they bring it, oh, we're going to build this. Absolute rubbish. They go to the worst council estate and say, we're going to regenerate this. And I, you know, the people I work with and have worked with for years on council estates, they're just getting a complete kick in from every angle, from their council, from the government, and being classed, as I said, like a second class citizen, which is wrong. So,
and not just simply in social housing, but the rental
yeah,
sector,
I mean,
everywhere.
Don't get me started on the whole market's a mess. But my energy and what I want to concentrate on is doing something about social housing in London, because it's a mess. And, you know, we're one of the biggest financial capitals in the world, blah, blah, blah. But the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and we are basically kicking people in council properties.
How has this happened?
I think the lack of building good social housing for the last 30, 35 years, councils and the government letting estates go down and not investing. I mean, the Aylesbury estate we were talking about, the amount of concrete could probably build 20 Wembley stadiums by the time they've demolished it. There is no reason for that estate to be knocked down. It should have been and should be refurbished. And I interviewed someone at Southwark Council for a BBC One Inside Out a couple of years ago, and I caught him off guard, and I said, what is wrong? You know, I'm a property developer. I know a bit about property. What is wrong with this building? And he looked up and he said, oh, it's got a flat roof. I said, yeah. And he said, global warming. And he just blurted out global warming. Not only did he come to the interview in a dirty shirt, which really annoyed me, an unironed shirt.
Oh, no, Luke, I'm unironed today.
Yeah, but this is radio.
Okay.
And you're not running a council.
How do you know?
Well,
no, I'm not. I'm not running a council.
Maybe you are. If you are, I need to have a word with you about housing.
Good, good, okay.
So he came in a dirty shirt, slovenly young man, and he just couldn't say anything. And he is in charge of head of regeneration and homes for a very large council. Can I mention them? No. Probably not.
Well, I think, if it's the Aylesbury estate, it's fairly obvious.
But I'm sure they're all, I doubt that any's worse than the other, I guess. Is this just a London council thing?
No, it's, I mean, the thing is, if you look at Aylesbury, Haygate, they're the last two big estates in central London in Zone 1. So the council go into a deal with a private developer. They then take them all off to Hong Kong, Singapore, spend £500,000 on an exhibition room and sell them all there to private investors, all about Zone 1. And they've, you know, they've taken the castle out of Elephant and Castle, and they're now calling it Elephant Park. I mean,
no way.
Really? You know, what is happening to our beautiful city that I was born in? I just think, geez, you know.
Where were you born?
East Finchley.
Aww.
Which is now very nice, but it was a complete hole when I lived there. Down by the North Circular, not the posh bit.
It is, it's got a nice cinema, isn't it?
It has. Phoenix, yes.
So, the Phoenix, yeah, I went on a date there. Oh. Haven't seen him since. So we understand that the tour is kind of why they, you know, they wouldn't, why help Labour voters? You know, you can kind of understand that. But did Labour do anything to stop the rot?
No, not really.
So
I mean,
why?
I think, so Right to Buy, in the Thatcher day, I never believed in it anyway. And without sounding too political, we could afford to get rid of certain homes then because we had so many social housing homes. Now we still have the Right to Buy, which I think is absolutely disgusting. As a state, we cannot afford to give someone £100,000 discount on them buying their council home. You know, we're going to be spending £3.5 billion on temporary accommodation over 5 years. And we've sold off about 1.5 million social housing properties under Right to Buy. And we haven't built anywhere near
nothing
what we need.
Nothing's replaced.
Pretty much nothing. So that's why we're in, you know, we have 1.8 people on the social housing waiting list. And we've sold off 1.5 and we're just not building. So Jeremy Corbyn... Weirdly, I bumped into him this morning at, I know.
Did you? Random,
in my bed. No.
Clip that.
Clip. I bumped into him at Tottenham Hale Station, and he was off to Harlow to do his, I'm going to build 500,000 new homes. He's not. It's just a soundbite. It's really sad. And I think that in the old days, you know, where I was born, we were under Barnet Council. And to me, you know, living in a council flat, Barnet Council were, you know, they'd do anything you want. It was brilliant. You'd trust your council. Unfortunately, now you can't because they're doing so many deals. They're not thinking about the people at the bottom of the rung. They're wanting to sell their estates off zone one, make a lot of money and move on and cleanse the area.
But what do they think are going to happen to the people that are, you know, the bottom of the rung? You know, and include me in that.
Yeah.
What do they think are going to happen to people?
They don't seem to care.
I'm intrigued.
They honestly don't seem to care.
I mean, I do live near where Haygate was. They've knocked it down now, and it was an immense building. It was just huge. I don't know if you know it, Bibi, the Haygate estate.
No.
Between Elephant and Castle, down towards Old Kent Road, there was this massive block, which has now been demolished.
You just did a Joe and a Lumley no. You just went, no.
Yeah. Welcome to my world, but Luke.
But I have got an idea for a bridge. No, I didn't.
Oh, don't get me started on the bloody bridge.
All I was going to say was it was a huge, huge concrete block. It was just this vast structure, which has now been demolished. All the thousands and thousands of people and families that live there, where are they? Where have they gone?
46 different areas across the UK. And if you think about Barbican, we all know Barbican. It's a concrete structure. It's got critter windows. It's the same. We could have done what they've done with Barbican, with the Haygate, with the Aylesbury, and with the hundreds of other states that they are insistent on demolishing.
And made it something desirable. Because people deserve nice things around them.
Yeah.
You know, no one's asking for yachts and crap.
Quite.
But, you know,
yeah.
Just a nice living environment, the difference it makes. We're going to play a song while I have a little meltdown, and then we're going to... Joanna Lumley, that's hilarious. Ooh. And please play it. Do you know what we're going to play?
Hopefully, yes.
Do I get a request?
Am I going to play what you're going to play?
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
is it the one that we didn't play last
yes,
time
it
on the
is.
Show? Yeah, well, it's here it is. a quite appropriate title.
I know, exactly.
Ain't no love, 'cause you ain't around.
every place that I go. Oh, it seems so strange without you there. Things have changed. When nighttime comes, there's a blanket of gloom. Another teardrop falls in my lonely room. I said I ain't no love in the heart of the city. There ain't no love in the heart of town.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city, Bobby Bland. That's for Oscar. Hello, you skeleton Oscar, naughty. I got a little bit of abuse on Twitter today.
Just today. You always use this show to just flirt with men, don't you? Either on Twitter or playing requests for people.
What is the point of being in showbiz?
I thought it was just me.
Yeah, no. You're the only. No, you're the only one I want.
I was going to ask you for a coffee after. But I'm busy now.
Oh. God. Bloody producer, ruining the armory. I'm Bibi Lynch. This is. Oh, men like to tease me.
I was, but I'm not.
Oh, right. Okay. Get
face
out.
It. Deal Whoa, with it. Yeah, come on. Right. Jeez.
I'm Bibi Lynch. This is Joanna Lumley. This is Soho Radio.
No.
And I'm joined in the studio by presenter, producer, and social housing expert Lou Doonan. Luke, so from what you've seen in Dispossession and the previous series that you did, what's the impact of being displaced and being homeless? I know it's a stupid question, but it's not a stupid question because you're actually seeing people and choosing to see it as opposed to a lot of people that aren't.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, for most people, and most people who live in council properties are hardworking people who just want to have a home, you know. And I think if you take anyone out of whatever age, there are quite a few elderly people who have lived on estates for like 40, 50. I think the longest one was she'd lived there for 55 years. Now, to be displaced, it could be a killer for someone of that age to have to move out. And if they have to move out and they're not offered something on their old estate or in the community, imagine how we would feel if someone said, right, okay, you're going to live in Preston.
Yeah.
And that is their only choice. Yeah. So absolutely devastating for so many people.
Well, I made a decision to move to Manchester for a year, a few years back, because I'm freelance, so I can work remotely.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought, okay, the Beeb's up there and I can do some stuff. I can do my magazine stuff from up there. But the big decision was because I went to see a friend of mine and his apartment up there was this beautiful two-bedroom city centre apartment for about £1 a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, but there's people like me going up there that's ruining it then for Mancunians because the prices are messing them up. And but I felt like I was, you know, I was born in London. Everyone is entitled to a home where they were born.
Yeah.
Across the world. Everyone.
Yeah, I totally believe that.
And that's been taken away. And I think the gorgeous Daniel Ruiz Tyson and Friendo Show, he drew my attention to a feature that was in The Guardian, and it was about the five hidden signs of hidden symptoms of austerity and what the impact. It's depression.
Yeah.
It's mental health issues across the board,
totally.
Anxiety, depression, feeling a humiliation that you're in that situation, lack of self-worth. I mean, destroyed. It's the hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
It's a bloody home.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And that people don't see it makes me sick.
Mm. That goes back to what I was saying about I don't understand how we've gone in 25, 30 years to treating people who live in social housing of any sort like a second-class citizen, because it's just wrong on every level. And
yeah.
It just, you know, the more austerity we have, the more cuts. And I think so many people that I've worked on these estates with are basically sort of putting their hands up and saying, what have I done wrong? You know, I've worked for 25, 30 years. I've kept my place clean. They may have bought it. They may still be a council tenant. And they're literally being turfed out. No exaggeration.
And if we're talking again about the renting, the social strata that are rising higher in the rental is over is 50s and over.
Yes.
And if you're earning about 40 grand in London, you still might have to flat share.
Yeah.
I mean, this is people's lives are fucked. I haven't sworn on this show for a long time, but it deserves that. It's absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. What can we do?
I think we need something which is part government but part not. We need a plan, a 50-year plan for London for social housing. And
I'm going to be 101 then.
That's all right. Get you a nice little bed sit when you're 101.
Yeah.
Room 101
Room
for 101.
Room 101 for BB.
So, yeah, so this kind of joint plan.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is, you know, these bloody politicians, it's all smoke and mirrors. We need a long-term housing plan for London. And the other day I was looking at, you know, some more research. Over 50% of our police force have to, not through choice, have to live outside London and commute in. And when you're looking at nurses, doctors, I don't care. You know, I would go back. I used to clean offices when I was 15. I'm not a snob. If I needed to, I'd go back and do that. You know, we're always going to need, you know, nurses, doctors who do a fantastic job. People who keep us safe, like the police, fire staff, ambulance staff, you know, cleaners, anyone. You know, we've just become, I really feel that we're becoming a greedy sort of snobby society, and if you don't earn over 100 grand a year, then you're like, oh, you must be working class.
Because how did we get there? And
but we are here. It's shocking.
But so you think a joint venture could almost someone solely in charge of it?
Yeah, like say the police force. You need a housing force that's part government, part political, part not. And a long-term plan.
Yeah.
Because when Jeremy Corbyn comes out and says, I'm going to build 500,000 new homes, you're not, mate. You're just not.
And I want to hear
where's
that,
the money,
of course,
where's the money coming
but where's
from?
Where's it going to come from? Yeah.
And what he should be doing, instead of getting a train up to Harlow, he should be going and stopping his councils in South London, demolishing communities and estates that need refurbishing, not knocking down.
I just don't see how people don't see it. Mm. And is it simply that, you know, if it's not touching me...
It's NIMBYism. It's not in my backyard.
Yeah.
So unless it affects someone close hand. If you look at Elephant and Castle, you've got strata, you've got these new buildings, you know, you've got Pret has opened. It's all become quiet. It's a bit like what they've done to Soho. You know, I don't really like it, but hey-ho.
Yeah.
And we're forgetting people in towers. It's like, these are people, these are human beings, you know, whose hearts are beating, and we are leaving them. You know, I wouldn't treat my animals like the way some of these people are living.
And again, Daniel Rose Tyson said something brilliant to me, and he said this, what kind of irritates him about this is now called a housing crisis because now it's affecting white middle-class people.
Yes.
Mm. It's been like this for a long time.
Absolutely.
And the rot has been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And now, but like you say, if you're earning under 100 grand...
Oh, you're poor.
You're poor.
Put you out with the bins.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I think you should stand for housing something.
I'll think of a
snappier title.
Okay, give me a title
I'll leave.
The Housing Party.
Oh, the House Party.
The House Party.
I
like it.
Tell me, so Dispossession, the great social housing swindle, is out in mid-June.
Yes, it will be in cinemas. We're also digitising, or whatever you call it, for TV. reshaping it for TV. So it's an 85-90-minute film.
Yeah.
And it's a real honest look at where we are today.
Do you have answers within the film?
Not answers as such. It's more, the film is to show us more where we are today and the story of people and people's lives. I think the question of an answer, as it were, is so big because we are looking at 30, 35 years of abuse in housing in every way, shape or form. We need, the answer is someone with a very strong backbone in politics to stand up and say, right, I'm going to take this under my wing and deal with this. It has to be a long-term plan.
Realistically, though, do you think that would ever happen?
I would like it to. I try to be positive, downbeat as I am about the housing crisis. someone needs to do something, because, you know, in 20 years from now, which is not that, you know, I know we'll be old and doddery by then, but in 20 years, we could face having no social housing or very, very little in London. And then what do? Well, we've built a playground for the rich, which is wrong.
Which for me feels like that we're here now. That feels like that's here now. And what's extraordinary as well is the people that are choosing not to see are actually are destroying their own city, because you're, as Fancy Chance said yesterday in her brilliant show, what you're doing is just creating a place where it's just beige and grey and bland.
Absolutely,
because everyone that with anything about them is being forced out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so what made London, London?
And just general community.
It's going to be Christ probably knows where.
You know.
Well, what? There's no community.
No.
Community or commodity, as Fancy Chance said yesterday, and I think that's a really brilliant thing. What's next for you?
What's next?
After marrying BB.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we just pop along to pop along. That was a bit camp. Pop along. This afternoon and get married at the registry office. Why don't we, lovely?
I would have eyed my top if I knew that was happening. Are you doing more with your production company?
My next thing is I also want to make a film documentary, which I'm starting to work on now, about loneliness and the elderly in our city.
Oh my God, is that a musical? You're very chirpy.
Chirp, chirp, chip, chip. No, it's not going to be chirpy, but it's going to be very realistic. Sorry.
No. I'm with you all the way. I'm, you know, my tweets are turning into 140 characters suicide notes at the moment. But I'm with you.
Just tweet me. I'll sort you out.
Thank you.
Oh, that sounded
there
rude.
You go. I need to.
I'll sort out your housing crisis. Tweet me.
Tweet. I need to say goodbye and thank my guests. Thank you, Fancy Chance. Fancy Chance, Flights of Fancy, is playing at Soho Theatre on Dean Street until this Saturday, 29th of April. For further information, to book tickets, go to sohotheatre.com. And for updates on all Fancy's other exciting projects, follow her on Twitter at Fancy_Chance and go visit fancychance.com. Thank you, gorgeous Anna Goodman. Breaking Convention 17 takes place Saturday 29th of April to Monday 1st of May at Sadler's Wells and Lillian Bayliss Studio. For further information to buy tickets, go to sadlerswells.com. For more details on the Breaking Convention 17 tour, go visit breakingconvention.com. Thank you, Luke Doonan.
My pleasure, thank you.
For updates on Luke's amazing projects, important, serious projects, follow him on Twitter at Luke Doonan. Go visit lukedoonan.com. And remember, Dispossession, the great social housing swindler, is out mid-June. Please watch it, get angry, and then use the fury to make change, or, you know, buy me a gun. Thank you, producer Nick. Thank you, producer Ellie. Thank you, most of all, thank you for listening and joining in. That's it from me, BB Lynch. Until next time, stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio. And I'm going to leave you with the sublime Donny Hathaway and The Ghetto for my husband, Dante Banks. Now leave me alone, Dan, for Christ's sakes.
Yes, this is the ghetto.